Yakanaka vangeri yashe. While we take our offering, wakanaka vangeri. Yakanaka vangeri yashe. Chingurinda kuza kuti yakanaka. Chingurinda kuza kuti yakanaka. Chingurinda kuza kuti yakanaka. Chingurinda kuza kuti yakanaka. Rine moto vangeri, rine moto vangeri yashe. Chingurinda kuza kuti rine moto. Chingurinda kuza kuti rine moto. Chingurinda kuza kuti rine moto. Hey, Brother Lubanza was there and said, you become Europeans. He was shouting at me in Lithuania. He said, hey, can't you sing African music? I said, we try, but the people, they're scared to clap their hands because they get cracks in their hands, you know. Just clap for the Lord this morning. Let's sing, guys. Amen. I'm tired also, but I'm happy to be in the house of the Lord. Amen. Rine moto vangeri, rine moto vangeri yashe. Rine moto vangeri yashe. Chinguringa kuza kuti rine moto. Hallelujah. Chingurinda kuza kuti rine moto. Chingurinda kuza kuti rine moto. Chingurinda kuza kuti rine moto. Maya faya vange. Maya faya. Maya faya vangeri yashe. Maya faya vangeri. Maya faya vangeri yashe.
God bless you. Moto is just fire in Lingala. Amen. And Kapia is moto in Chiluba. God bless you.
Amen.
Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father,
amen.
Bless these offerings. We thank you for this day.
Yes.
We are not even strong in our bodies, O Lord.
Amen.
But you are our strength, O Lord.
Amen.
That's why we believe that you came down to worship with us, O Lord. Bless these offerings and take the leadership of the rest of this service in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Hallelujah. We have we'll start with a testimony. Then Sister Becky will sing. We leave Bra Eli for last because it's always exciting. He always has a surprise. So let's just sing a chorus. Let's sing that. Put on the garments of praise. Amen. Hallelujah. We're all happy. But we just sing it because we want our Lord to come now. Let's sing that song. Put on the garments of praise. Then we'll ask Bra Max. Amen. To come put some fire on the coals. On the fire. To burn us up. Amen. Fire. Oh, sorry. Sorry, guys. Let's see. Put on.
If you put on the garment,
oh my brother,
if you put on the garment of praise,
let's go.
If you put on the garment of in the spirit, and the spirit of David shall fade away. If you put on the garment of praise.
Amen. Oh,
hallelujah.
Praise
Amen.
The Lord.
Amen.
I don't hear. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
Oh, glory to bless you. Amen. I have this testimony to the glory of the Lord.
Hallelujah. Amen.
Last Wednesday, as usual, we came here for our church meeting. And we had a topic, he is still on the job.
Amen.
Amen. He is still on the job.
Amen.
And the prophet said, even when Jesus died, he was still working.
Amen.
Amen. And after the service, as we were going home, you know the Aldi supermarket that's just closed on the road here? My wife wanted to buy something at the supermarket, so we just went in. Just bought some few items, and we took off. That day, Dr. Owusu was also with us.
Mm.
We were just going to drop him at Lucan, and my wife was going to Terrystown, that's Branchestown, that night. So we went to Terrystown. My wife got down. Then she couldn't find her wallet. We searched the whole car. We couldn't find the wallet. Then I asked her. I knew always that wallet carries her documents and cards and other things. So I asked her, is there money in the wallet? She said, yeah. And even our weekly tithe is in the wallet. Immediately, Genius said, let's go back. We will see the wallet.
Amen. Amen. Amen.
And all my mind was that probably we will go and meet the shop still, maybe some people in the shop, and the wallet might have fallen inside. So definitely if it has fallen inside, somebody might pick it and give it to the security. So that's where my mind was. So all the way from Terrystown again, we look at the time, it was past 10 o'clock. And I know that shop they close at 10 o'clock.
Mm.
It was past 10 o'clock, about quarter past 10. But Gina said we should go. So we went. When we got to the supermarket, first I look inside, there was no one. And then the car park, not even one single car. Everywhere closed. But as we meandered, entered, Junior was driving, the light of the lamp just fell on the wallet.
Amen. Amen.
That's the wallet there.
Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen.
Wonderful. Our Lord, he is
Thank
still
you,
working.
Lord. Amen.
Amen. We left the place with many cars, many people still in the supermarket. And we didn't park at the back, just in front. So you could just imagine the number of people that were passing to go and take their car and cars moving out. And immediately we entered, the light just fell upon the Amen. Wallet. Amen. Gillian said, that is the wallet over there.
Amen. Amen.
When we took it, we opened it, everything intact. Amen. Amen. God's money was still inside.
Amen. Amen.
Oh, praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord. Amen.
So when I told Brother George, Brother George said, you know what? God sent Gabriel to come and pick the wallet and put
Amen.
It inside his pocket.
Amen.
And so when we were coming back, he asked Gabriel to go and put it back again.
Amen.
And so glory be
Hallelujah.
To God. And when I told Pastor also said, God blinded everybody.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. So our Lord, he is good.
Hallelujah.
He really, that Saturday, we really had a blessing here. That Wednesday. And the devil had wanted to kill that joy.
Amen.
But God raised the standard.
Hallelujah.
Praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord.
And so we thank the Lord. God's money can never get lost. Either.
Amen. Hallelujah. Brother Greg, maybe you just come before we sing one more song. How good it is for your money to be in God's hands. Amen. Many times our monies are not in God's hands. I remember even once someone was saying to me, you know, you have too many people in your house. Too many people. You should save money, buy a house. And then one day I went to visit a friend of mine in England. And he said, you know what? I can give you up to £50,000 to buy a house. And I said, what? That's more than what I use on people, you see. So, but I never took the offer up because the bank refused to give me. He says, if you ever get a mortgage, but it's not we boasting in the Lord to say, if you invest in God, God will give you back. And he'll give you more than what you need, you see. So we have it there. We don't have houses, cars, and all those things now. But when we need it, we ask him. It's like a few weeks ago, I was so, so broke that Joshua was crying for toys and I couldn't buy anything. We went to McDonald's. We couldn't afford. And we had no money. And I was saying, God, the social people wouldn't pay me any payments. But within 3 days, I ended up, I had 14.5 in my account. Where do those things come from? It's the glory of God. When I testified, Brother Crosby said, brother, I want you to send me the detail of your testimony. Then I sent him that detail. I typed everything out and I sent it to him. He said, I want to use it in church because I was preaching on these things. I said, brother, I need to tell someone this story. It's burning me up. When I testified to him, another brother hasn't got my number, but he sent me a message on LinkedIn. Brother Itai, he said, Brother George, that is so outstanding. The pastor preached about your testimony. And I said, this testimony, it's that side there. He said the people were going mad. But because when God does something, it's a wonder. And that's why we need to testify of his goodness. Amen. Amen. Sorry, Brother Greg.
When I was listening to the message of Brother Branham, something inspired me. It took me a while because I'm very busy. But last night I back late enough, spent time with the family. Was late already, around maybe 12. And I said, I had the feeling in my heart to write the poem a few weeks ago. But then busy, just. So I said, no, devil, tonight I'm exhausted. But I will spend time, and by the glory of God, I will write something for his glory.
Amen.
So I finished after one, very tired, but I was happy. But that's what I'm saying. I don't know how the poem will, because I read a few times, and I hope it will be all right. Still, it's Amen. In English, and I better talk than write. So. Okay, so the name of the poem, it's Twin Sisters. One time I live in the world, and I knew them not. At that time I was convinced that I'm in the right spot. One time I was thinking that I'm smart, I know it all. I didn't even think about them, not even one thought. One time I was blind and living in the darkness, but they were near me, looking at me with sadness. One time I couldn't hear, but they were always near. One time I was lost, I didn't know that one day I will love them the most. One time I served devil, and I served him good. At that time I didn't know them, didn't know the truth. One day my life was a mess, but they always care more and more, not less. And then one day, they, twin sisters, pay visit to my heart, ask me, would I like to have a new start? Clear everything and begin a new page, a clean card. I said yes, and I asked them for help because I couldn't do it by myself. One sister showed me how to be patient, when the other how to control my tongue and be silent. One sister showed me how to give, when the other how to forgive. One sister showed me how to pray, when the other how to follow the life, the truth, and the way. One sister showed me how to care about my neighbor, when the other to first for the God's kingdom do labor. One sister showed me how to pick up my cross and be a disciple, when the other how to shine the light and be an example. That's why every day I'm falling on my face, thanking God for twin sisters, love, and grace. Amen. Thank you very much.
Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. God bless our brother. Amen. Wonderful, brother. Let's sing that song while Sister Becky comes. Let's sing that song, Leaning on the Everlasting Arms. Amen. He's a wonderful God. What a fellowship, what a joy divine.
The devil really had me, But Jesus came and grabbed me, and he held me close, so I won't let go. God's mercy kept me, so I won't let go. I almost gave up. I was right at the head of a breakthrough, but couldn't see. The devil really had me, but Jesus came and grabbed me, and he held me close, so I won't let go. God's mercy kept me, so I won't let go. So I'm here today because God kept me. I'm alive today only because of his grace. Oh, he kept me.
Wonderful, wonderful, wonderful. Let's sing that song before Briley comes. I don't know why Jesus loves me. Amen. Everything from the testimony to the poem to the sister's song has such a nice presence. Now, Briley, you have a hard time now, brother. I don't know why Jesus loves me. Oh, I don't know why he cares. I don't know why he sacrificed his life. Oh, but I'm glad. I'm so glad he did. He left his mighty throne. Left his mighty throne in glory. Oh, to bring to us redemption's story. Then he died, but he rose again. Oh, but I'm glad. I'm so glad. Where would I be if Jesus didn't love me? Where would I be? Where would I be? Where would I be if he hadn't sacrificed his life? Oh, but I'm glad. I'm so glad he did. I don't know why Jesus loves me.
Amen.
The young brothers are picking up. I need to speak to the pastor. Daniel is performing so well. He needs to start leading songs now. Huh? You ready to lead songs? You're performing too well these days. Amen. Keep it up, brothers. Even Brother William, I see all the brothers. Sister...
It's a miracle that I'm standing and singing this morning because I spent a very, very bad night. I was in pain all night. My wife can testify. Even if I can sing and, you know, dance, it was not possible a few hours ago because it was like my head was going to blow out and... I was sneezing blood, and it was very, very bad. So I don't know why, but just yesterday when I finished writing the last few verses of this song, I just started feeling very bad, and I hid it from my wife because I didn't want her to panic, but at the end I had to tell her because it was getting worse. But God is there, and I can stand on it. The song is about, it's in French, it's about the truth. He is the truth, the way and the life. So truth found me in the darkness and brought me to the way of life. That's briefly what it is. Thank you.
Amen. You know, today everything was so nice that you'll even be scared to sing the next song. It's so nice. It was so, so nice. Praise God. We thank the Lord for that. Touch your people once again. Oh, with your precious holy hands, we pray your kingdom shine upon this
precious. We're so thankful that the word came into the world, because Lord, we wouldn't be what we are without your word. Father, you are the way, the truth, and the life. And Lord, we thank you upon this day. Bless this Bible to our sister. May it be such a blessing. Father, let it be a treasure house unto her. Father, let it be a storeroom of good things. Father, let it be food in due season. Yes, Father, let it be a lamp to her feet. Let it bring salvation to others. Father, let it bring people out of darkness into your light. May you protect this Bible. May you watch over it and keep it, we pray. And bless your word as we, Father, would meditate it upon this day. As we thank you, Father, in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. God bless. Saints. God bless you, saints. Merry Christmas to everybody.
Amen.
To the politically correct, happy holidays. You know the way this world is now. There's nothing worse than getting a Benjamin brought from the school children. Somebody gave him a Christmas card with the Incredible Hulk on it. I said, this world is mad.
Yes.
And I won't even say it, it'll just say, season's greetings, and here's the Incredible Hulk. You know, I said, why? When the prophet says the world totally lost the spirit and the revelation of what it's all about. Because what is Christmas? Christmas is a great day. Because we all had a Christmas. Every single person here who's born again. You know what Christmas is? Your own experience testifies to you about Christmas. You know, Jesus wasn't born in winter. We know that, but he was born, and that's the most important thing. And even more important, if he was born to... Bro, Tony's here. God bless you, bro. Nice to see you, bro. God bless you, bro. Let's clap for our bro. Amen. You know, if Jesus hadn't been born, we could never have experienced what we have. And on a daily basis, you know, even the supernatural that you experience in your own experience, feeding on the word, answered prayer, even the testimonies that have been given today, even the song worship, just gathering together these people. If the word hadn't become flesh, we couldn't go up to him. The Bible says, the song says, he came to me. Because I couldn't come to him, so he came to me. So that's what we enjoy about Christmas. It's a season where the world is in a certain frame of mind, so we take advantage of that season. When I was at work, I gave real Christmas cards to people. I went to the Christian bookshop and I found the ones that had the best gospel punch that I could. And people comment about it. And it gives you a good opportunity to speak to people, because people will say, I never knew you could get cards like this that tell the gospel. And then it opens up, you know. So we just use the season as evangelists that we're all called to be. You find if you're in Mars Hill, you find out what the people are speaking about and you start from there. So if you want to just use any situation, the Lord can take it and he can use it so you can testify the reality of what real Christmas is. Because today you can have a Christmas if you haven't been born again. Christ can be born in you. And that's the real thing. What good was it if Christ was only born 2,000 years ago? And that's just a story and a painted fire to us. But if we didn't have a living experience today, that he has been born in me. That it's not me that lives anymore, but it's Christ who lives inside of me. What good is it all? It's just a tradition. We don't want tradition. Traditions of the devil. We want something living and fresh. So that's how we've gathered today. Really glad and thankful for the items. May the Lord bless everyone. The testimonies. It's great to gather in his house. Let's read our Bible. Let's read from the Bible, Luke chapter 2.
Amen.
Let's just get our thought from there. We have a car to dedicate Sister Jivilia after service. May the Lord bless her car. Let's pray for her car after the service. Luke chapter 2, let's read from verse 1 to verse 7. Now it came to pass in those days that there went out a decree from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be taxed. And this taxing was made when Cyrenius was governor of Syria. And all went to be taxed, everyone into his own city. And Joseph also went up from Galilee out of the city of Nazareth into Judea, unto the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be taxed with Mary, his espoused wife, being great with child. And so it was that while they were there, the days were accomplished that she should be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son, and wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. Amen. Amen. Let's also read Psalm 91. Let's read from verse 9 up to 12. Because thou hast made the Lord, which is my refuge, even the Most High, thy habitation, there shall no evil befall thee. Neither shall any plague come nigh thy dwelling. For he shall give his angels charge over thee, to keep thee in all thy ways. They shall bear thee up in their hands, lest thou dash thy foot against a stone. May the Lord bless his word. You may be seated, saints. Now, there's just something about times, and you can read something so many times. It's like when we speak about the Christmas story. We can hear it so many times until it can really become a tradition. But if you really think and put yourself back at that time, you know, my thought that I really was thinking about this week was, you know, it's amazing that we as believers, how easily we get discouraged with things. Yes. Yeah, we are just people that so easily get discouraged. Yeah. We're people that give up easily on this, and we question, is God really with me? And if God is with me, why does this happen and why doesn't this happen? And you know, when I really went and read Luke chapter 2 again this week, I said, I wonder where we get that from as believers. Because that's not a scriptural attitude. No, because you find Mary and Joseph were so perfectly in the will of God. Yeah? Can you find people that were more perfectly in the will of God than they were at that time? No, they were perfect in the will of God. Mary was great with child. She was about to bring forth the word of promise. She was great with child. You know, so she had had such an experience with God, had leadership, you know, that the different things they went through. And now you find them in a situation they've got to go to Bethlehem. But friends, it wasn't easy. Now you think about it. You think this was Emmanuel. This was God himself being born into the world. This is the greatest of great events that you can think about. Imagine, this woman, Mary, she had the word in her. The word was in her. She could feel the word growing inside of her. But friends, was it easy for her at that time? Was it easy for her to go from where she was to where she was going to be? It wasn't easy. She had to go on the back of a donkey. You know, the problem with us, we get so relaxed in Laodicea. Now, everything's got to be easy, and you know, if this doesn't work, I'm not going to go to church today. The heating's not working at home, or you know, things like that. But if you put yourself back in those days, and then they get to Bethlehem and there's no room in the inn, you would have thought she's bringing forth the Son of God. You would have thought God would have provided some easy way for them. But there's no room in the inn. They get to the place and it seems like, where's God? Where's his leadership? You know, friends, let's be careful the way that we look at how God works with his people. God doesn't work with us putting cotton wool all around us and, you know, making everything so easy. That's not the way it is with a believer. With a believer, it's faith every day. with a believer, it's facing up to trials and temptations and circumstances you don't understand. And the devil will come to you. I'm sure he came to them to say, but hey, are you sure you're in the will of God? How come there's not even a place for you to lay your head? And they had to go and he had to be born in a stable. Imagine. Somebody just had pity on them and said, no, look, I've got a stable down the way. We're watching with the children, Jesus of Nazareth, the other day. And it's very good how they do it because Joseph goes to the inn and the man says, no, I've told you people already. And he tells his servant, the owner of the inn, close the door, close the door. I told you we're too full inside of here. And then Joseph goes back to Mary and she's just already getting into labor. And she's sitting on the dusty, busy street, yeah, with the word inside of her. And Joseph comes back and says, don't worry, Mary. God will look after us. And then another old lady comes and looks through the door. And she sees Mary sitting there and she has compassion. And she comes and takes her by the hand and says, no, let me show you. There's a place that you can go. And takes her now to the stable. And I thought that's the way that it is with believers. With a believer, the prophet says, if God is not in you, you will never see God anywhere. You will never. But you need to be in the Spirit, because when you're in the Spirit, you will see God in everything. Amen. Brother Max saw God in that situation. You know, testimony. You'll see Brother Greg, you'll find God in a poem. You'll find God in a song. You'll find God in fellowship. You'll find God everywhere if you're in the Spirit. But friends, if you're not in the Spirit, the way God works with us, He works in the unseen. He's in that unseen realm. Sister Lydia had put a good one there on the forum the other day about now how easy it is to look at other people. No, to look at them with their marriages and see other people, other churches or from the world. And sometimes you see them doing so well, apparently, you know, financially and all this kind of stuff. And you look at yourself and now you're still struggling along. You're still renting a house. No, your car's 10 years old. Yeah. And you look at yourself. And if you're not careful, if you look at those things that are seen, that's the realm that the devil works. But you've got to look at the unseen. Because if you can look in the unseen, you will see you're the most privileged person. I would never want to change my life with any of my friends from school. I don't care if they become the president of America. What is that? Compared to being a son or daughter of God. For God to care for you. For God to watch over you. But the Bible says many are the afflictions of the righteous. It's got to be like that. God wants it to be like that. He doesn't call us to a flowery bed of ease. That first Christmas is such a testimony of that. Now you think of what it's like. You go and sleep in a stable for one night. It's not that easy. No, we just see it nice in the little nativity. We say, hey, that wasn't too bad. No, it's a smelly place. It's full of grass, and if you've got hay fever, you're going to suffer inside of there. Amen. There were animals inside of there. And imagine if we take our wives when they're going to give birth. Yeah, we try to find the best hospital. We pray for the best midwife to be there. You know, that's all. There's everything is sterile environment. There's people on call. They all dressed up so well to deliver this child. Who delivered Jesus? Joseph. In a stable. That's where the Son of God was born. In a stable. And did they wash him nice and put him in real nice clothes and putting him in a nice cot? No. He was put in a manger. Wrapped in swaddling clothes. Friends, let's not forget what it is to be a Christian. Let Christmas testify to us. The prophet says Christianity is a rugged life. Lived on a daily basis. It's a front line. It's against an enemy. And many times God is with you, but you don't see him with you. He was so much with them. This is what he says in the great shining light. He says, Christ was to be born in Bethlehem. And they were many miles away when this took place. And we've noticed the perils that had to go through in order to get there. My. But we want it easy. You know, the moment somebody speaks against us, no, I don't want to sing in church anymore. The moment somebody misunderstands us, no, I'm going to keep my children at home. I'm not coming to church anymore. Friends, is that the way that it should be? If we get into the spirit of the first Christmas, if we really get into what they were as believers, and what they had to go through, yet being in the absolute perfect will of God.
Amen.
Don't look at those things that are seen, because it'll deceive you. You'll look around and you'll say, ah, no. You know, that's what the prophet says in God being misunderstood. He said, that's a mistake they made in the wilderness. Because Israel weren't in the spirit. They said, if God is with us, why is there no food? If God is with us, why is there no water? But he wanted it to be like it. He wanted to provide the food. He wanted to open the rock and give them water. But because they weren't in the spirit of it, they had no expectation. They weren't looking in the unseen realm. They weren't seeing, they're recognizing what this great pillar of fire really was. They didn't realize who they were in the eyes of God. So when these things started to happen, they said, Moses is leading us astray. Now, if this man was a man of God, why do these kind of things happen? How can he lead us into this situation? Friends, you've got to stay in the spirit as a believer.
Hallelujah.
Because he's promised, the prophet says, he's promised many strange feelings. Many things that will perplex you. Many things that you won't understand. There's going to be dear people separate from you because of your stand as a believer. There's going to be the reproach for the cause of the word. Because that's what Mary and Joseph had. That's what Elizabeth and Zechariah. They had to bear his reproach in their age. But friends, when everybody doesn't speak well of us, we think there's something wrong. No, there's something right. That's the way that it's supposed to be. They're not all supposed to pat us on the back. We're not supposed to be understood by the world. We're not supposed to be understood by our families who don't believe and so forth. No, that's just the way that it is. So the prophet says that. He says the perils they had to go through. Now, they didn't have a great, fine, plush ambulance to take Mary up there. They didn't have it as we do today. It was the king's order. No excuses to be made. It must be fulfilled. But no comfort for the little expecting mother. Now, friends, because of obviously we fight so much against Catholicism, yeah? But Mary was a blessed lady. The angel told her, blessed are you among women. She had great favor in the eyes of God. But think of how she had to go. Great with child, what she had to go through. He says there was no way of travel, only by foot or on the back of a little donkey. He says, and if anyone ever rode a donkey, he knows what a rough ride it is. There's going to be parts in the journey, my friend. You are perfect in the will of God, but it's going to be a rough part in the journey. There's going to be times that it's not comfortable in your Christian walk. And let's get used to it, because that's going to be far more than the times that you feel comfortable.
Amen.
It's going to be like that. That's just the way that he's ordained it. He says, and that little fellow coming along a narrow trail that winds up over the mountains to Bethlehem from lower Judea. A very rough and rugged road. What if the little donkey would have not been sure-footed and would have fallen with his little expecting mother? It's like God sometimes allows things to be so like in peril, it seems. You know, it seems like there's just one step between you and you'll be finished. He likes it to be like that. That's why he doesn't want us to live in comfort all the time. That's why he likes to stir the nest. He doesn't want you to get too comfortable. He wants you to be depending on him. He wants you each step of the way to be under an expectation. Say, Lord, I need you at this time. I don't know what's the next step I'm supposed to take, but Lord, this is a dangerous part of my life here. You need to show me the way on this narrow trail, because I'm walking in your will. The prophet says, it was also a very good setup for robbers in those days. There were many perils they had to go through. He says, and what about the wild beasts? He says, but it gives us consolation to know this, that we do not hold our destiny. God holds our destiny, and he has ordained it to be so. And there's nothing will ever interrupt the program of God. We are bound to arrive. The prophets had said it. The prophet had said, thou little Bethlehem are not least among all the tribes of Judah. From you shall be born the king. That's what the word says. So it doesn't matter the perils, doesn't matter the donkey, doesn't matter the difficulties, doesn't matter how, sometimes it seems, I don't know if I'm going to be able to carry on much longer. Friend, God's ordained it. It will come to pass. And the one who started the work in you, he will finish it. He will finish it. So just keep looking into the unseen. Just keep looking to the promise. Keep looking ahead to what is the vision, what is the big picture. Don't get too much caught up looking at it. I don't have so much money now. And now I'm praying. It doesn't seem like God answers my prayers. Friends, the Bible says God knows what you need even before you ask Him. Do you think God is going to do down His own economy by holding things back from you that you need? If He's holding something back from you, you don't need it. You think you need it, but you don't. Because the Bible says He's promised to supply all of our needs. Not everything we want. Not everything coming in the time that we expect it to come. But no believer can ever testify contrary to what David says. David says, I was young and now I am old. I've never seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging bread. Never. The words will never be broken. Don't look at your current things. God knows what He's doing. He knows where He's getting you. It's not your plan, it's His plan. Before you were born, this plan was laid. Yeah? You have a destiny. You have a destination that you're appointed to get to. And you'll get there just in time. He knows how to get you just in time. Mary and Joseph got there just in time. It wasn't easy getting there, but God got them there just in time. And that's where it'll be with us as well. The prophet says, so there was to be no fear. And yet maybe Mary and Joseph themselves, just common people, not educated. They didn't have the way of knowing these things that were taking place at that time was fulfilling the scriptures. And it's the same today. The things that are taking place right in this day that we live, many of us know nothing about it, about how God is moving. But friends, God is moving. And He's very faithful in the way that He moves. Yeah, then he preaches the message, a Christmas message, 1958, just after Christmas, His wonders to perform.
Hallelujah.
And I love those kind of messages because it says God works in a mysterious way.
Amen.
His wonders to perform.
Amen.
You know, and if you're not careful, you'll fail to see the wonders.
Amen.
Now those wonders can be happening all around you. The Lord can be ministering to your needs. The Lord can be delivering you, doing so many things. Imagine what they were going through. Listen to what he says here. He says, He works in mysterious ways, His wonders to perform. He says, did you catch that? And whenever the prophet says, did you catch that? It means we didn't catch it. So we should go back and read it again. He works in mysterious ways, His wonders to perform. So God's ways are mysterious. What does it mean? There's a mystery in it. The mystery is not something that's so clear or so apparent just on the outward. You don't understand the mystery straight away. Sometimes you've got to sit and ponder. Sometimes you've got to sit and consider what's just happened inside of your life, what's happening inside of you. And then God starts to unfold a mystery to you. God starts to reveal something to you that was previously hidden. That's what a mystery is. And God does so many things to us, and I'm sure we pass them over. It's like, I think, Psalm 107. Is it that one? When it speaks about how the Lord led His people into the wilderness and then they cried out to God and then He delivered them. And then it says, and the people were perishing and then they cried out to God and then God sent them and delivered them and all that. And then it says right at the end of that verse, let's read the very last verse, Psalm 105. It's a very important principle that David is saying here. He's speaking of God's deliverance in so many ways. If you go and read Psalm 107, if you read the whole psalm, it's a tremendous psalm. In verse 4, it speaks about how they wandered in the wilderness. And it speaks about how God chastises His people and they come right near to the gates of death. Then they cry out to God and He delivers them from their affliction. Then it speaks about people because of their transgression. God binds them in fetters of iron and brass. And then they cry out to God in the midst of the affliction and He delivers them. Then it says, and people going on the sea, you know, they're presuming and they get in a great storm and they cry out to God and God delivers them and brings them to a safe haven. Amen. He's speaking of deliverance. And then he finishes off right at the end of Psalm 107. It's quite a long psalm. And he says in verse 42, whoso is wise, 43, whoso is wise and will observe these things, even they shall understand the loving kindness of the Lord.
Amen.
To understand the loving kindness of the Lord, many times you don't see it. Sometimes it's the tender hand of Jehovah.
Yes.
He can work in ways that we don't understand. And you've got to be wise.
Yes.
And you've got to observe these things. You've got to think and say, but what was it that the Lord wanted me to learn there? What is it? Why did the Lord allow that to happen inside of my life? Because everything has a purpose. Everything's for your good. Everything's for His glory. Friends, the devil will never ambush God. It doesn't happen. The devil will never pull one over a believer. If something happens, you God permitted it to happen. That may be a misfortune. It may be a sorrow. Whatever that it is. And whoso is wise and will observe these things will take time to get in a spiritual realm and start to wait upon the Lord and say, Lord, I don't understand what's going on here. I don't understand why you've allowed this inside of my life. Even they will understand the loving kindness of the Lord. Then you say, oh God, you're so great. You're working in such a mysterious way. God can bring good out of evil. Can I tell you about the threefold way that God delivers people? The first way God delivers you from evil. He stops you getting into evil. I was reading the other day of the six-day war in Israel, 1967. And Israel, this whole company of tanks and armored vehicles were heading out to this place for a great battle. Not knowing that the Egyptians had laid a serious ambush for them in the certain pass. And the lead vehicle, the man who had been down that path many days, he took a wrong road and he got lost in the desert. Had to find the way back. And then they found out afterwards, if he had not got lost, there was an ambush waiting for them. Friend, a believer will never be lost. Even when you lost for a purpose. There was a reason you were lost. There's a reason. There's a reason. There was a man, I think it's in Fox's Book of Martyrs, a minister was preaching in Europe. And he said he was going to go to a certain town. So, you know, they arranged some meetings for him. And so the enemy laid in wait. They were going to kill him on the way. So the people that were sending him from one town to another, they gave him a guide, a very good guide to take him to other cities. The guide got lost. The guide got lost and they wandered around and around, got to the city another way. Then they found out afterwards if they hadn't have got lost. Friends, he knows what he's doing. He works in a mysterious way. Even if you lose something. Everyone left their keys on Friday. Do you understand why? But I'm telling you, there was a reason, friends. There was a reason. I don't know what the reason was. But you think it's possible for 7 or 8 people to all forget their keys on the same day. That's not natural. Now, if you're just looking at things that are seen, people will say, you're so disorganized in this church. Well, maybe we are sometimes. It's true. But that's not what we're speaking about. I was telling the brothers that the testimony of one brother from back home, my good friend, he's now passed on, Brother Malambo. And he called me one day. I've given the testimony before. He was the manager of forestry commission in Zimbabwe. So he lived in this like estate where there was a forest. And he had his house there, the manager's house. And just down the way, about a couple of minutes drive, there was his office. And his wife was away. He was just a young believer. And he phoned me in the morning and he said, brother, come and see what happened. And I went up to his house. And lying on the grass outside of his house was a big, dead black mamba. So I said, what happened? He said, let me tell you the testimony. He said, yesterday I was working in my office. He says, and it got into the night. My wife was away. I thought, let me catch up on my work. He says, I worked quite late into the night. He says, then I got tired. I thought, let me go up to my house, go and sleep. He says, I went out to my car, drove up to my house, couldn't find my house keys. He said, I looked everywhere, looked in my pockets, thought maybe I left them in the office. He said, I drove back to the office, went inside, looked for my keys. I couldn't find my keys. He says, in the end, I had to sleep in my office. He says, this morning I woke up, waited for it to get light, went to my car, opened the door, and the keys had fallen out of my pocket down the side in the car by the seat. He said, oh, there's my keys. I went with my keys, opened my door, stepped in my house, and as I did, there was a mamba. He said, if I did that last night, I was dead. He says, if I could have opened my door last night and stepped in the dark right onto that thing. Yes. You see what happens, friends? Amen. Even when you lose your keys, there's a purpose. Amen. Whoso is wise and will observe these things, even they shall understand the loving kindness of the Lord. But if you're not wise, if you don't observe these things, if you just look and get frustrated and say, but But if God is with me, how can I sleep in my office all night? It's better than the alternative. It's better than the alternative. No, God in delivering, sometimes he will allow an evil to keep you from a greater evil. He will. God will allow evil to happen to you to keep you from greater evil. Ask Jonah. God allows a fish to swallow him. You say, but if I'm a believer, how can a fish swallow me? It's better than the alternative. Unless you can swim really well, John, it's better than the fish swallows you. So that's the way that God works. So even when something happens, I believe this answer, so many believers have car accidents. You might have just got quite a new car. Bah, you have an accident with your car. Something breaks in your car. And you get grieved. And say, but if God is with me, how do you know what is going to happen in that car? Maybe it wasn't just going to be a broken down car. Maybe you're going to lose people in your family. But we don't know. God allows maybe misfortune to happen to keep us from a greater misfortune. Everything has to work together for the good. And if you could look in that unseen realm, we'd see that. You would see that his eye is upon you. That he's watching over you. So he can deliver you from evil. He can deliver you in evil. He can allow you to go into the fiery furnace and then deliver you there. He can allow you to go in the lion's den and then he delivers you there. Or he can deliver you with evil. He can allow a misfortune to deliver you from another evil. That's powerful, friends, if you think about it. So it doesn't matter which method he uses, he's still in control. So when something happens, you don't understand, say, God is delivering me with misfortune. Yeah. If you lose your keys, God's keeping me from something. If your car doesn't start in the morning, if you've got a flat tire and you're in a rush to go to work, friend, I don't think it all happened by chance. God could easily have organized it that you had the flat tire the night before.
That's right.
And you could have fixed your flat tire and gone to work. But there's a reason for these things. Amen. But whoso is wise and will observe these things, will meditate on these things, will really be prayerful about these things, they shall understand the loving kindness of the Lord. Now, when I read that scripture again yesterday, I went and I really got on my knees and I repented before the Lord. And I said, Lord, I'm sure there's so many things you did for me that I just passed over.
Amen.
There was a time, the brothers know from back home, there was a time we used to go and pray in the woods on a Saturday. Every Saturday we used to go and spend the day in prayer. So I got up early one Saturday morning, put my Bible, put in my books, my tapes and everything into my bag, headed out for the woods. We used to pray on a little hill. It was quite a long way to go right around to this place. We had to walk quite a long way to get to the hill. So as I was driving to the place, I saw, as I was on the main road, there was another dirt road went off the side. I hadn't recognized it before. And it seemed to go towards the place we prayed. I said, very good. Maybe it's a shortcut. So I quickly turned down that dirt road and I drove into the woods, found a place to park the car under the trees. I went and I prayed. I came back after lunch. As I got to the car, put the keys in the car, these guys said to me, put your hands on the car. And then these two guys behind me, they were police officers. So I had to put my hands on the car. They searched me now. They said, what are you doing here? I said, I come here to pray. They said, you come here to pray? I said, whose car is it? I said, it's my mother's car. They said, can you prove it? I said, yes, come with me to the house. The registration book's at the house. They said, fine. They opened up. They put me in the back seat sitting with one guy. The other guy gets in the front. He drives the car. As we're driving on the way to the house, the man says to me, he says, which church you go to? I said, I go to End Time Message. He says, you know Elias Munyari? I said, yes, he's the principal in our college. Then I started speaking to him, this man's from Family of God. We get to the house. I go inside. I show them the registration book. Then the man says to me, the Christian guy says, let me tell you what happened today.
Hallelujah.
He says, we got a phone call at the police department saying suspicious activity. A car was seen driving off. Maybe it was a stolen car. So we came, he says, and we camped out in the bushes around your car from early in the morning. He says, and then somebody came to your car trying to get into it. He says, so we went to apprehend him thinking he was the person that had stolen the car, but the man ran away. So we went back and we waited in the bushes. He says, and then you came. He says, can you see what the Lord did? He says, the Lord sent us here today to watch your car while you were praying.
Yeah.
It's true. forth. But you know what? At that time, I never really thought much of it. It's only much later, one day, I thought, but Lord, that was you. You see, sometimes, because we're not wise, we don't observe these things. No, the Bible says Mary kept these things.
Hallelujah.
And she pondered them in her heart.
Amen.
Everything that took place, she was putting the pieces together. She was saying, Simeon said this. Oh, these wise men gave that. She was putting the whole picture together. It was becoming more and more clear. And if we could be more considerate about the things like that, of the things that the Lord does for us. Like Brother George was saying about the power of testimony. Now, we get used to the testimony. But friend, that testimony can be such a powerful thing if it's presented the right way. If you really consider the depth and weight of what it is that the Lord did for you. Friends, the Lord is always undertaking.
Amen.
Brother Max's testimony is very powerful.
Amen.
I said it to him on Friday. I said, brother, we had a similar thing just the other week. We went after church to Apple Green on the way home. Went to put some fuel and get something to eat. I said, I went to pay. I didn't have my credit card. Now, Timothy had been playing inside of the office with my phone while we were speaking with Brother Max. And he was taking all the cards out of my phone. So I thought, oh, no. He must have taken my credit card out and left it under the seat. Just as I was standing there thinking of what to do, a man came out of the office. This was on the Sunday evening. It was a Sunday. And he came to me and says, wait. I said, what? He said, you were here on Friday and you paid with your credit card, but you left it in the credit card machine. Here's your credit card.
Hallelujah.
It's very powerful.
Amen.
I said to Gitana, I said, how did that man recognize me? And just the time when I was thinking in my heart, where's my credit card? The man comes out of the office. Here's your credit card.
Powerful.
That's how the prophet says he works in mysterious ways. His wonders to perform. That there's a reason for all of these kind of things. Now, in his wonders to perform, the prophet says, no matter what, he says, did you catch that? He works in mysterious ways. Oh, I just love that. And how that he does it in such a way sometimes that it absolutely cannot be explained. But no matter what the path is, stay with it anyhow.
Amen.
And God will work it out right.
Hallelujah.
Mary and Joseph, it doesn't matter about all the misfortune. Doesn't matter about all the hardship. All they had to do was one thing. Stay in line.
Yes, sir.
All you've got to do as a believer is stay in your calling.
Amen.
Stay in the line of duty.
Amen.
Don't let anything pull you to the left hand or the right. That's what the devil wants to do. He wants to come and tell you, oh, I know this and I know that and get us to look over there and look over here. But there's only one thing that a believer's got to do is just stay in line. And you will see God will make it work out right. Even if you've made a mistake, God will use that mistake for his glory. God will work that out. It has to walk back. He knows how to do it. It'll be so mysterious to us sometimes how those things happen, but he knows how to do it. He said, then the prophet goes on. He says, and every precept of God's eternal word has to happen according to his time schedule. Don't worry. Jesus will be here just on time. And the church will be ready just on time. That always gives me courage. When you see we're not yet there, we want to be further ahead. It's okay. Just stay in the line of duty. Just stay in your calling. Just let him find you in the way. Just be faithful to the last thing that he told you. That's all that you've got to do. If he hasn't given you fresh instructions yet, if you're waiting for some answer to your prayer, that's okay. Just be faithful to what he last told you. Just be faithful. But sometimes he speaks to us and we forget. And then we wonder, but why is he not speaking to me again? Because he wants you to be wise.
Amen.
To observe, to consider, go back. And say, Lord, what is it that you said to me last time? I remember Brother Pavel once when he came, I was speaking to him. And he said something good. I mentioned it before. He said, brother, he says, when I'm preparing for preaching, he says, if ever I run out of inspiration, I can't find some inspiration. He says, I always go back to my last inspiration.
Amen.
He says, what is it the last time I did? He says, where somebody maybe preached. He says, maybe I've got notes I was studying, whatever that, what a book. He says, I go back to what the Lord last dealt with me and I start from there again. Because friends, you'll always find him where you left him.
Amen.
You'll always find him where
Amen.
You left him.
Amen.
You know, but sometimes you want to quickly pass on from that visitation. We want to move on to something new. But sometimes the Lord trying to say, no, not too quick.
Amen.
You haven't got the full virtue of that one yet. You know, so you're trying to seek for some new way, some door to open to some new something. And the Lord says, no, you haven't fully understood yet what I was trying to tell you there. And it's good to go back.
Amen.
And to ponder those things. And then you find maybe it starts opening up again. And it opens up into another direction. And then you get an inspiration that can lead you to the next stage that he wants you to go. But always be faithful to the last thing that he told you.
Amen.
Don't observe. I think it's in Proverbs that says, he who observes the weather will never sow his crop.
Yeah, that's true. Amen.
If you look outside and you say, it looks like it's going to rain, I'll go and sow my seeds tomorrow. It's too windy today. Friends, you're going to starve in the winter.
Yes,
you'll starve in the winter. You don't observe the weather as a believer. Because the weather changes.
Amen.
No. You follow his leadership.
Amen.
You just do what's right.
Yes.
Like Brother Elliot was saying, you're sick all night, you come to the house of the Lord.
Amen.
Friend, he meets you in the line of duty. How many times we can testify of those things? You didn't feel like doing something and you went and he met you there. That's the way that he works. Just stay in your calling. Don't be put off by apparent outward circumstances. The way things are currently looking. No. That's how you get yourself really out of the way with the Lord. You don't want to do that. The prophet says, but you know, if God is leading the way, what difference does it make? He's speaking about Mary and Joseph, the robbers and the hard journey and all these different things which could have gone wrong. He said, but if God is leading the way, what difference does it make? God will protect you to your destination. There's no dangers when you're walking with the Lord. There's no dangers to a believer. We don't understand the word danger. If you're walking in the will of God, there's no danger. There's no danger. There's just lying vanities. There's just outward circumstances. But to a genuine believer, there's no such thing as danger. Now, if you want to lead yourself, now it's a different story.
Yes.
Now there's danger. But if you're following his leadership, there's no danger.
Amen.
There's no danger in the fiery furnace if you're following him. There's no danger in the Red Sea if you're following him. But if you're not following him, if you're Egypt, there's danger in the Red Sea. So as long as you're following him, there's no danger.
Amen.
It's all going to work out well. He says, I would easily believe that there was a host of 10,000 angels walking along there with that man and that little donkey. That's what I just want to take my thought from today.
Amen.
There was a host of 10,000 angels walking along with that man and his little donkey. Why? Because they were packing the word. They were packing the message of the hour. Friends, there's an unseen realm. And that realm is commissioned to make sure that you and I get to the end of the journey. There's an unseen realm. And if you could just look at the unseen, we'd see it. And if you get in the spirit, you feel it. There's something that declares itself to you, to your spiritual senses. You know that you're not on your own. There's something. He says, but perhaps little did she know these things. Mary. Little maybe did Joseph know that all this was about to happen. But we don't have to know everything.
Amen.
As believers, we don't have to know everything. As long as he's leading, that's the most important thing. Now, what about angels? Let's think of them that day. Let's think if we could break into the invisible realm, the unseen realm. Imagine you and I would have looked with the natural eye and seen a donkey walking on a narrow path, maybe slipping and about to stumble, and there's a ravine on the side. And you and I would have said, my, God is taking a risk here. But if you could break into the unseen, friends, they weren't on their own. There was a power that was with them. There was a ministration that was with them. What does it say in Hebrews 1 verse 14 about the angels? Hebrews 1:14. Are they not all ministering spirits?
Yes.
Who are they sent to? Sent forth to minister.
Amen.
For them who shall be the heirs of salvation.
Amen.
Our friends, angels. Imagine these great beings. Imagine angels are perfect. Angels are wise. Angels, think of them. The majesty of God's angelic host. And God has assigned them to watch over you. They've been given a commission. They've been given a commission. What is a commission? Go back to Psalm 91. Look at their commission that they've been given. Psalm 91, verse 10.
Amen.
Sorry, verse 11. It says, "For he shall give his angels charge over thee." That word charge means a commission. It's not like you just say, "Brother Greg, you know, please can you just watch over my child?" No, you say, "Brother Greg, this is my son.
Yeah?
There's dangers about. Watch my son. Don't sleep. Everything depends on." That's giving someone a charge. It's important to you. So you're saying to someone, "I charge you," Paul said to Timothy, "I charge you before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, preach the word."
Amen.
It's a charge. It's a commission. It's like you're trying to stress to somebody, "This is so important what you're going to do.
Amen.
Don't slack.
Amen.
Don't slip. Don't fall asleep at the line of duty here. This is an important job." And imagine God calling the angels and saying, "I've got my son Greg down there. Yeah? I've got my son James down there. I'm giving you a charge. I'm giving you a commission. You are to keep him in the way." That's the charge. They're given a commission. Look what it says they're supposed to do there. "He shall give his angels charge over thee to keep thee in all thy ways."
Amen.
So friends, if you have a car accident, God's allowed the car accident.
Amen.
If sickness strikes, God allowed it to happen. There's a purpose. If misfortune so called visits you and you say, "Oh, that was an accident." There's no such thing as an accident.
Amen.
Because he never slumbers.
Amen.
He never sleeps.
Amen.
He's given his angels charge over us. Amen. To keep us in all of our ways.
Amen.
What does it say? Verse 12. They who? The angels.
Amen.
Shall bear thee up in their hands. You know what this is like if you go and read it? It's like when you've got a little child. And you've got to go to work. And you leave it in the hands of a nurse. And it's the way that, imagine it's the prince of the realm, yeah? And the king gets the best nurse that he can to look after his little toddler who's still trying to learn to walk. He's going to stumble in the way. You can trip over anything. And he gets the best that he can find and says, "I'm giving you a commission. You watch my son while I'm not here." And that little boy or that little girl, when they're trying to walk and they're about to get into trouble, what does the nurse do? She picks the child up. Or if they start to cry or they fall down, whatever, she bears it up in her arms. She shows that love of a nurse. Friends, that's what it says, that God has commissioned these angels to bear. They bear us up in their hands, lest thou should dash thy foot against a stone. There's so many occasions. Think in your own life. We're coming to the end of the year. Yeah? Review this year. There were so many occasions you could have stumbled. Friends, there's so many stumbling blocks out there. Many are falling away. Many are getting offended in the things of the kingdom of God. Yeah, there's so many things that could have stumbled you during the year, but they didn't. Why? Was it you? Was it your wisdom, your strength, your overcoming power? No. They were given a charge to bear you up, lest you dash your foot against the stone, lest you stumble in the way. Oh, friends. That's a wonderful thing to think about. That's why the prophet says, if he has predestined you, you're going to get your destiny. Because you're not on your own. You're not on your own. He gives you his spirit and he gives you the angelic host. Yeah, I watched last week when I was thinking of this on YouTube about the Secret Service. Those who guard the president in America. It's very powerful. Friends, those are serious guys. They're the elite. They train continually. They have to be so good with their weapons, so good. You know? When you see them standing there by the president with those dark glasses, friends, they know what they're looking for. They're just looking for someone who doesn't behave the way they should behave. And they showed the one time when they're doing a drill. They have all these exercises with them, like live exercises. They don't tell them. Many times nothing happens. But they just got this one guy to put his hand as if he's going to take out a gun from his belt. It didn't take a split second for those Secret Service to notice his behavior. And they asked afterwards, "How did you know that guy had a gun?" He said, "Because when everybody else was smiling, When everybody else was looking up at the president, he started to look down.
Amen.
He says, and that was a sign to us, something's out of the ordinary. And Amen. Straight away the guy said, gun! And they jumped on the president. They covered the president with their bodies. Another team of them straight and jumped on that guy. My. And I thought to myself, I said,
thank you, Lord.
They're the amateurs.
Amen.
God has the real ones.
Amen.
They never sleep. They never slumber. They're vigilant and they're watchful. Because they're commissioned to keep you in the way.
Amen.
To make sure that no evil can befall you.
Thank you, Lord.
That's what the Bible says.
Thank you.
So imagine Mary and Joseph. They were so well protected.
Amen.
You know, the safest place you can be, it's easy to find. It's in the will of God. There's no safer place than in the perfect will of God. It doesn't matter where you are. It doesn't matter what's happening outside there. If you are in the will of God, you are in the safest place that you can ever be. There's no place safer than the will of God. And if you look back at this year gone by, look at the mistakes you could have made. You know, when it says that they're there to keep you in all your ways. You know how they keep you? Sometimes they can see that, I don't like the way this guy's looking at that girl there. And they make her sick.
Amen. Yeah.
So just the time you're feeling tempted, you wonder, hey, this girl hasn't been at college for 2 weeks. What's Hallelujah. Happening? God sent his angels Hallelujah. To keep you in the way. He can do those kind
Amen.
Of things, friends.
Hallelujah.
They can observe and see the way that things are going and they make a plan. Because look, when the angel came, Gabriel came to Daniel, he says, look, it's been 21 days since you prayed. Yeah? But the prince of Persia withstood me. What was happening? It was time now for Israel to be set free. It was time for Cyrus to come to the throne. But that prince of Persia, the king of, there was a great something taking place. So Gabriel and the angels now had to start moving things. Getting people from one position to another. Getting the obstacles out the way before they could move the will of God forward.
Amen.
That's the way that it is, friends. You don't realize what's taking place around you. You don't realize that nothing is out of his control.
Yes, sir.
He really has it under his control. So it says, they shall bear you up in their arms. Now, Psalm 34, verse 7. Let's read one more scripture. Then we'll read some quotes what the prophet says. Psalm 34, verse 7. We know the scripture. It says, the angel of the Lord encampeth around them that fear
Amen.
Him and delivereth them.
Amen.
That literally means pitches his tent. That's
Amen.
Why I put that quote on the forum the other day when I was reading about this. When the prophet says the angels encamp around you, they never go back to heaven. They stay with you. That's their commission. That's their charge. There's no change of guard. Now, if you go to Buckingham Palace there and they have the changing of the guard and the guy with the big bearskin hat, and the other guy takes his place, there's nothing like that. These angels are commissioned to watch over you.
Amen.
And friends, there was never a man who understood this more than the prophet.
Amen.
Because of the realm that he lived in.
Amen.
To the prophet, that realm was so real.
Amen.
He'd break through and see what was happening in that realm all the time. The angelic realm, that supernatural realm, it's so real.
Amen.
Listen to what he says in Show Us the Father. He says, one night they were asleep down in Dothan. When Gehazi got up early the next morning, he went out and all the armies of Syria had surrounded the city. And he came running in and said, all around the city surrounded. He thought they were in danger.
Hallelujah.
But you can never be in danger in the will of
Amen.
God. You can't. But the prophet cool said, the prophet says he was cool.
Amen.
Said, there's more of us than there are of them.
Amen.
And when his eyes came open to see the spiritual world, all around the old prophet was angels.
Hallelujah.
The mountains was on fire with angels and chariots of fire. You see, there's a world right here now. In this building are legions of angels.
Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord.
Oh,
Amen. Thank you, Lord.
Right now.
Amen.
If God could anoint your eyes and mine.
Amen.
And every seat, the prophet says, they take their positions.
Hallelujah.
They're orderly, friends. They keep church order.
Yes.
We do good to emulate them sometimes. You know, they're not disorderly. They keep perfect order.
Amen.
Jesus said in the Psalms by King David, the angels of God are encamped around those who fear him. So look at the believers here. who fear God. What is the condition? The angel of the Lord encamps around them that fear God,
Amen.
That respect Him,
Amen.
That respect His word. That's the condition.
Amen.
So the prophet says, look at these believers here who fear God. So the angels are everywhere. Now, if you can just worship God, you'll find out that God is all around us.
Amen.
It just depends on what realm we're in. That which is seen or that which is unseen. Depends on which realm that we seek into fellowship and commune with. That realm's going to get more and more real to us.
Amen.
Now, if we want to live in the flesh, we're going to know nothing about these
Amen.
Things.
Amen.
But if you want to be under an expectation, he says in Jehovah Jireh, he says, many times, he says, every time that a man ever did anything worth anything, he walked alone with God.
Amen.
Then he corrects himself. Because you can never walk alone with God.
Amen.
But we think we have to have some great something around us to secure us. So we think, you know, to do something for the Lord, we need some apparatus, some denominational system, some, you know, somebody's got to back us up. The prophet says, he says, we think we have to have some great something around us to secure us. He says, the believer has.
Amen. Amen.
You do have some great something around
Amen.
You, which is going to help you. He says, that company of angels.
Amen.
He says, the Holy Spirit is companied about. And the angels are encamped. They don't move. They stay right with them that fear the Lord. They watch for every move. So even when you're not watching, when you wake up and you got out of the bed on the wrong side in the morning, yeah? And the dog knows where to go and he knows that you're going to not be in a good mood. They watch. They watch every move. They see every danger. They're looking ahead on the road. They know what's coming. They see that driver. They see what's happening here. It's powerful how it works.
Hallelujah.
It's powerful how it works. And then you'll find yourself get delayed. And you don't get on an aeroplane and the aeroplane crashes.
Yes, sir.
Like some believers have testified of.
That's right.
Or you'll get on the aeroplane, be reading your Bible like a football player or a Christian, reading about those who find refuge under the wings of the Lord.
Amen.
And the airplane crashes and almost everyone else dies and you live.
Amen.
He can deliver you from danger.
Amen.
He can deliver you in danger.
Amen.
Or he can deliver you with danger.
Amen.
He can deliver you anywhere that he wants. But everything's going to work for the good.
Amen.
He says, and speak to this mountain, the angels are watching over us day and night.
Yes.
They never leave. They're encamped about. And we can expect God to do most anything at any time because of the presence of the angels of God who are commissioned by Him to watch us and to care for us.
Amen.
We should be expecting things to happen.
Amen.
He says we can expect anything to happen at any time
Amen.
Because of these angels that are around us.
Yes.
Because sometimes they want to move. They want to declare themselves. They want to change a situation or a circumstance. Oh, friends, I imagine when Brother Max lost his wallet, if you could have seen what was happening in the spiritual realm,
Amen.
You would have been surprised.
Amen.
You might have just found the wallet who was sitting there next to the shelf, yeah? And then when Brother Max left it, he went to the till, all of a sudden something just seems to knock it under the shelf. Yeah? Brother Max comes in the shop later on, something just... You never know how it works, friends.
Amen.
You never know, because it's a real world realm.
That's right.
Because that's what I would do. That's what you would do. And how much wiser are the angels? You never know how it's going to work. I put this quote the other day, but it's from this book with love. It's an altar call. He says, I want everyone with their heads bowed. Won't you come right here and stand at the altar? He says, while the love of God is moving in here. He says, what an atmosphere. This is an atmosphere that I wish I could live in forever. This sweet, humble feeling. What is it? The angels are walking up and down the aisles. All around these posts. Around this tent on the outside. The angels are moving. Their great wings are spread. That's what makes you feel that way. Because you don't feel like this all the time. You don't see anything, but you're different from when you walked in here a while ago.
Amen.
He says, and I feel it and I'm conscious of it.
Amen.
Oh, friends, you don't realize that supernatural something. Imagine Jesus in Gethsemane, an angel had to come and strengthen him.
Amen.
When he was in the wilderness, the angels came and ministered to him. friends. You need the leadership of the Holy Ghost, but you even need more than that.
Amen.
You need the angels to watch over you.
Amen.
And the prophets used to love the song that colored brother used to sing all day and all night. Angels are watching over me. And it's so true,
Amen.
Friends. And if you could just realize it. This one we put on the forum the other day, Revelation Book of Symbols. Wouldn't you like to live where you are conscious that the unseen world is right with you all the time? Because sometimes we're conscious and then we get in the flesh and we're not conscious anymore. But to live within the veil, to live in that sensitive realm, to walk softly before the Lord, to be prayerful, so that we could recognize at all times the unseen is with me.
Amen.
He says to realize when you walk out here and get in your car, the angels take their positions by the side of you.
Amen. Amen.
That's why you will have accidents and say, but how did I get out of that accident? Yeah. That's why those decisions are made, those split-second decisions. You listen to the test, my brother Gary Walker. From Australia, you know, who was driving back from a meeting and then came around the bend and the big truck came around on the other side with a massive timber on it. As the truck came around, the timber flew off right into Gary Walker. But he says it was amazing. He says, I just turned around to my daughter. He says, just a second before, he says, and I told her, put your seatbelt on.
Amen.
What was that? Why? He says, and as she put her seatbelt on, that truck came around and smashed the car. And if she hadn't have had her seatbelt on, she wasn't coming out of that car. So he delivered the wife and the daughter from evil. Yeah?
Amen.
But he didn't deliver Brother Gary Walker from it. But friend, the man is a powerful testimony.
Amen.
The man, I think he died three times the first night. And they had to bring him back to life. They told him, you'll never live. He lived. I told him, you'll never be normal. You'll be like a vegetable. He came back to consciousness. I said, you'll never walk. He's walking now. He's a testimony. There's always a purpose. If the Lord allows evil, there's a purpose. It's going to bring forth something far greater than the evil. Evil, you just allow it to be like that. If you'll be wise and observe these things, you'll understand the loving kindness of the Lord. That can be a great testimony around the world. But God has to allow someone to go through it. When you pass through the fire, I'll be with you. Yeah. But that's where testimony. And he says that, Brother Gary Walker, he says, the very first thing I thought when I came to consciousness was, this is going to make a great testimony.
Amen.
That's the first thing that he thought. He said, this is going to make a great testimony. God makes people like that. It's amazing. So the prophet says that you get in your car. The angel take their positions by the side of you. When you walk up yonder to that man that's so unlovely to you. And you realize that the Holy Spirit is standing right above you. And the angels are all around.
Amen.
Our friends would speak in a different way. We'd bring forth different results. We'd see fruits, we'd see manifestation, we'd see powerful things take place. If you could stay in that place and be conscious of these things.
Amen.
They're always there.
Amen.
He's always there.
Amen.
His ministering spirits are always there. But many times we're not conscious. We're like Gehazi. Our eyes are closed to these things. And we need something to come and open our eyes. So we can look in that invisible realm. And we can discern and have a spiritual sense that declares to us that something's taken place. It says, people will say, Brother Branham, is that right? The Bible says so.
Amen.
The angels of God are encompassed.
Hallelujah.
Are camped around those.
Amen.
They don't go back to heaven, they camp there.
Amen.
They're sent on missions to watch you through life's journey.
Thank you, Lord.
Amen. Amen.
To watch you through life. And the prophet actually says that children have a special angel.
Amen.
And he says the disabled as well, God gives them a special angel.
Amen.
My. And that's why you'll see your children sometimes. They'll fall down the stairs when they're learning to walk.
That's right.
And they'll never scratch. And you'll say, but no. I remember Brother David speaking of it once. I think it was one of his children. Who fell. I think out of the high chair, whatever that it was. And the way they just fell and then boom, landed straight on the nappy. And Brother David said to me, he said, brother, it was supernatural. It was supernatural. It was supernatural. That's the way it is. The promise is the babies have a special angel that watches over them. Over children. Oh, friends. But this is for believers. Not everybody has this privilege.
Amen.
Not everybody. This is to them that fear the Lord. Them that are called according to his purpose. These are to them that have been commissioned to come to a certain destination. This is for people of destiny. Friends, there's predestination in it. And it's God's grace. But let me say one thing. If you don't believe it, if you're full of unbelief, you'll invite a lot of things in your life that should never really have happened. Unbelief, it like blocks these things. It's like you've got to have an expectation. You've got to have a faith. You've got to be looking to the Lord. You've got to be trying your best in the line of duty. Then you find these things take place. Things start to move and to work inside of your life. And the message, God keeps his word. He says, this is a wonderful moment. The angels of God have stuck down their camp along the side of this place tonight. For it's written in the word, the angels of God encamped around those who fear him. And in the great unseen world that now is around us, stirring our emotions to repentance. That's a powerful thought. What is it that sometimes makes you feel that something and brings tears to your eyes? When you think of a certain something or you burden for us, yes, many times the leadership of the Holy Ghost, but many times it comes through this realm. That these angels around you, and they create an atmosphere around you, and you can sense and you can feel something strange is taking place here. There's something beyond flesh and blood here. There's beyond what we can see taking place. You speak to somebody, you never spoken to them before, and there's that atmosphere that's there. There's something which is persuading them. There's something that's quickening them, quickening you. The prophet says, stirring our emotions to repentance, to bring evil before our eyes that we've done wrong. Yeah? To come and convict you. To come and remind you. The prophet in that prodigal, he says how the angel went down to that prodigal because of the prayers of his father that night. When his father was saying, where is my son tonight? He says, Mommy, I'm ready for you. Mom, I'm feeling restless about my boy. I wonder if he's got anything to eat. He says, I'm going to go and pray. And the prophet says, an old man went out, used to walk on the hills and pray for his son. Like the testimony Brother Tom gave on Friday.
Amen.
About Brother Derek Donaldson. Praying for his son that had backslid. Saying, devil, I'm not giving him to you. I'm not allowing you to have him. And now his son is a minister in the God in the message. It's powerful. And the prophet says, when that father was burdened, was expressing that burden, was interceding for his son, it says, that night the angel went down and came to that young boy down there among the swine in his filth and in his insanity and spoke to him in the night. And the Bible says he came to himself. Something had to bring him to himself. Something had to bring him from that realm of insanity, that realm of darkness. Something had to introduce some light into this. Something had to dispel that darkness for a season. That's the power of prayer. You can't make the decision for a person, but you can sure create an atmosphere, which is going to make it a lot easier for them to make the decision. That's all that we're called to do. You can pray an atmosphere upon someone.
Yes.
If you read that testimony of the believers in America a few months back, remember that the prayer line on a Wednesday night. Very powerful testimony. And the one sister came up to pray for a backslidden son. It was a powerful one. It was such a powerful meeting, yeah? They had this prayer line on a Wednesday night. I think it was Brother Ron Spencer. Yeah. And this sister got so burdened for her son, who even refused to come to church that night. He was lying in his bed. She went for to be prayed for. They united in prayer in the prayer line. That young man in his bed was struck so much with conviction, he came to the church in his pajamas. He came in his pajamas. They prayed, and the young boy came through the door a few minutes later in his pajamas coming. And he came and he knelt and made his heart right with the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Oh,
I believe that.
Thank you.
That's the place that you really want to be. When you can pray someone into church in their pajamas, you can say you're really good. That's conviction upon somebody. But be careful that your actions don't negate your prayers.
Yes, sir.
Because you want your actions to line up with what you're praying for. You're praying the Lord to convict them, and then you're turning them away by your behavior. You don't want it to be like that. You're wanting a correspondency. You're wanting the way that you feel to be the way that the heavenly realm is feeling. Because, friends, you know the angels, they feel a sympathy. The prophet says the angels are interested in what we believe about salvation.
Amen.
It says the angels rejoice. Yeah, the angels in heaven rejoice, Jesus said.
Yes, sir.
Over one sinner that repents.
Amen.
Imagine the way they feel. They just say, this is what we were working towards.
Amen.
This is how we wanted it to be. When we moved this to there, and he met that person, and then he met that person, and we burdened that person to pray. This is what we're waiting for. And there's great joy in heaven. Our friends, they have a personal interest. And that's the only way it can ever work, is have a personal interest.
Amen.
God has a provided way. He says, we haven't got the place here to call people up around the altar. We haven't got the room to do it, but the Lord bless you, many, many souls. He says, now you know according to the word of God what has happened in heaven at this time. Angels are rejoicing.
Hallelujah.
Think of it. Think of angels rejoicing. The black flags of Satan has been defeated. They're down and they've been chased out.
Amen.
And the angels and the white victory flags are flying through the heavens tonight. The bells of glory are ringing.
Hallelujah.
Ringing melodies as one sinner comes to Christ. The Lord be blessed. Why? There's something in that realm. For that's the realm you want to stay.
Amen.
That's the realm you want to invite to mingle. And break through into this realm in this dimension. I'm sure you want it. Let's read one more. Let's read Genesis 28 verse 11. We'll take one more thought to which the prophet has before we come to a close. Genesis 28 verse 11. Let's read about Jacob's ladder.
Amen. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Jacob's ladder is really interesting, friends. You know, the prophet says a lot of things about it. Genesis 28 verse 11. Now let's remember that Jacob wasn't in tune with God at this time. He wasn't really walking with God.
Yes,
but he was in the way.
Yeah,
he was a man of destiny.
Yes.
He was predestined to bring forth the promise.
Uh-huh.
Verse 11. Speaking of Jacob, he lighted upon a certain place and tarried there all night because the sun was set. And he took of the stones of that place and put them for his pillows and lay down in that place to sleep. And he dreamed. And behold, a ladder set upon the earth. And the top of it reached to heaven, and behold, the angels of God ascending and descending on it.
Amen.
Ah, friends. The prophet infallibility of God spoke over in 1956. He says, take Jacob. God shut him off, put him into the coma of a vision. And he looked up and he saw a ladder fastened up in heaven to God's throne, reaching all the way to the earth. And the angels were ascending and descending, up and down. It says, and all through the years, we find it was a beautiful promise. This scripture was a promise. God had promised a way of escape, a ladder to climb on. But it was hooked in glory to the throne of God. But where could he find a place on earth to hook it? That was the problem. That's why I'd always say just as a vision all through the Old Testament. Because it was hooked up in the covenant promises of God up there. But there was nothing on earth which was solid enough that he could hook this ladder into. He tried to hook it one time upon the Jewish nation. He found out he couldn't do it. He found he couldn't hook it on Jacob, the supplanter. Or on Abraham. The little fellow sitting there backslid, lying, treating his wife the way that he did. He couldn't hook it on the temple. Jesus said there won't be one stone left upon another. He tried it on the patriarch David and he took Bathsheba for a wife. Everything he tried to hook it to wouldn't anchor. The prophet says, oh, hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
But the prophet said, there'll be a stone laid in Zion.
Amen.
Amen.
A precious stone. That'll be the anchor. Yes.
Amen.
A wonderful stone. And then God being in heaven, with the ladder hooked into his own throne, he hooked it also in none other but the Son of Man, Jesus Christ.
Amen.
The chief cornerstone. Because God doesn't want his ladder slipping around. He tried to hook it to a covenant with Adam and he broke it. He hooked it in a covenant with Israel. They broke it. But God made the covenant unconditionally.
Amen.
And he hooked it into Jesus Christ. There it's anchored. It's hooked by God above and by the Son of God beneath. And what is it? It's a pathway.
Amen.
It's the traveler's way from earth to glory.
Amen.
Now, friends, as long as we stay in that way, the angels are ascending and descending.
Amen.
The angels are descending and ascending. Ah, friends, that's when we're subject to so many wonderful things.
Amen.
When we stay in this way.
Amen.
But the enemy wants to get us out the way. He wants to try to get you off the ladder. But we need to be climbing Jacob's ladder.
Amen.
Every rung closer and closer.
Amen.
That's what he wanted to be. He says it's a pathway. He says, but you can't fail. Because look, there's great companies of angels up and down here. Ascending and descending. Picking up the weary. How many times has that happened in your life?
Amen.
I think almost everybody here at one stage determined they weren't coming back next time. Everybody's got to that stage. Ah, I'm tired now. Ah, the sister was singing about it as well. It was a beautiful song.
Amen.
But what is it that comes and strengthens? The same thing that came to Jesus and strengthened him when he couldn't go on anymore.
Amen.
This is an angel came and strengthened
him. Amen.
If you could see what happened at that time. When just something moved upon you. Yeah. It's like something just seemed to enfold you. That's what it is. They'll bear you up in the arms. Lest you dash your foot against a stone. Picking up the weary. He says, picking up the sick. Healing their bodies. Showing visions and signs and wonders. So when the devil thinks that he's got you like he did with Brother Dave. I remember Brother David telling me the one time he was so sick, he almost felt he was going to die. And honestly, I really feared for Brother David when he was sick. Because it was serious sickness.
Amen.
That wasn't just the kind of sickness that we have. That one was a threat to your life.
Amen.
That was the devil has desired you to shorten your days.
Amen.
But God knows his juices.
Amen.
And as long as you're on Jacob's ladder, friend,
amen.
As long as you're on the path from earth to glory,
amen.
As long as you're walking with him, you're walking in your destiny. The angels are there. They ascend and descend. And they persuade. And then in due season they come and they deliver.
Amen.
Remember the prophet speaking of the goiter. Yeah, and the woman with the stomach trouble. And how the angel of the Lord went around the neighborhood.
Hallelujah.
It was time for God to deliver those people. The prophet says so that it can't fail. It's hooked around the heart of God in heaven. It's hooked around the Son of God down here. And we are brought into it.
Amen.
So God made the covenant with us in Christ. It's nothing to do with us. This ladder is not depending upon you or upon me. This ladder is so secure.
Amen.
This path is so secure.
Amen.
Between heaven, earth and glory.
Amen.
Through the Son of God, we ascend to him. Then what are you scared about? Our promise is hooked between God and Christ. And we in between them with the angels. So he says, there's a God in heaven spoke to Jacob. Here's the Son of Man on earth. Here we are on the ladder with the angels.
Amen.
He said he'll give his angels charge over you.
Amen.
And the angels of God encamped around those who fear him. And all up and down, when we're making this foundation, climbing each day higher and higher, each day brings me one rung higher.
Amen.
As I move up, up, up. Friends,
amen.
We can see others are a few rungs ahead of us. It's okay.
That's right.
We'll all get to the top at the same time.
Amen.
That's the way that he's made it.
Amen.
If we are predestined unto Jacob's ladder, like Joseph and Mary were predestined to Bethlehem, they were going to get there just in time.
Amen.
You can't fail. The prophet says, and if anything happens, if I fall along the road or something happens to me, there's a great host of angels standing there to pick me up.
Amen.
And they say, Come on. We're marching on towards Zion, amen. That beautiful city above. Amen. That's why some songs will be so quickened to you, my friend. That's why there's certain songs that are a new song. You've sung them many times, but in a certain time, a certain season, it becomes a new song. Because something comes to energize that song with that atmosphere that song ministers grace to you. That song does something to you at that stage in your journey. We need the new songs as well. Now, if you go to Azusa Street, you know the song which they loved? The Comforter has come.
Amen.
But that was an old song. It had been written before that. It wasn't a new song in that sense. But because of that fresh experience they had, because of the conditions of things at that time, that song was a new song. And you find it even here in church. There's times you'll put a certain song, a new song in. We haven't sung for a long time. And that song has a quickening power upon it. That's a new song. It doesn't have to be something brand new, although it can be. But it's good to sing a new song unto the Lord. Because a new song speaks of a new experience. That song means something to you because it ministers something to you. There's a fellowship between you and that song. There's something supernatural taking place there. And you'll never forget that song.
Amen.
Those songs of deliverance that the Lord ministered to you in the night seasons of your life. You never forget them. Whenever you hear that song, it may lose its initial impact and power, but you'll always, as soon as you hear that song, you remember the experience. You remember what the season of time, the season in your life that you were going through with that song. The angels take care of you. Let's finish with this here now. In God's gifts, always find their places. Now he speaks about the wise men. Now think about them. Think about how far they had to come. Think of their journey they had to take. Why? Because God was dealing with them. Because he was bringing them to the perfect light. Now these wise men, bringing their gifts, identified. Their gifts identified what it was. We know that. The gold, the frankincense, the myrrh. They identified Christ in their day. Yeah. The king, deity, gold. Yeah. Frankincense, the priest. Yeah. Service. Myrrh. The Son of Man. Coming to die for the sins of the world. Bitterness. The gold, the frankincense, and the myrrh. Their gifts identified. And that's the reason God protected those gifts. Through every move that they made. He protected it until they arrived with those gifts. Because they were fitting for the time. That's precious, sin. And you have a gift inside of you.
Amen.
You have a soul that's predestined and ordained to reflect him in this age.
Amen.
We have different gifts in the body, but friends, they reflect Christ in this age.
Amen.
And that's how when something's about to take place, you're about to get out of the way, there's something that's commissioned to keep you in the way.
Thank you, Lord.
Because God has appointed that you arrive in your destination with your gift.
Amen.
That gift's got to come safe to the end of the journey. Just as much as in Mary. Friends, we're the same as Mary. She had the Word made flesh. You have the Word not made flesh. Made flesh in you. But you are bearing the same Word that she was bearing. You are pregnant with the Word. You're just waiting for that Word to bring forth in its fullness, to express itself fully. And until then, he's going to watch over you. He's going to keep you. He says, they were fitting for the time. He says, does my church understand it? That's what's going on now. He's watching over his gifts. He says, you see, identifying himself. That's the reason God has protected it the way that he has. And he will protect it. Until his purpose is served. What a thought for the year, friends. That's why God's protected you the way that he has. And he's going to continue to protect you until your purpose is served. And then if it's time for you to go by the way of the grave, he'll deliver you up into something. And although you walk through the valley of the shadow of death, you don't fear any evil. Because he sends his angels down to the river. With a swing low, sweet chariot.
Amen.
Coming forth to carry me home.
Amen.
He sent the chariot down to Elijah. Our friends, you can't lose as a believer.
Amen.
You can't lose. Even when it seems you lose, you don't lose.
No.
Even when it seems you've lost, if you are in the way and you lose something for Christ, he's promised to give you more than you lose. If you give up something for him, he says, I will restore. Press down, running over, shaking. He'll make sure he fits as much and spilling over. Friends, you can never outgive God. You can never suffer for him without being in the fellowship of his sufferings, which is greater than the suffering itself. It doesn't matter what we go through, friends. Day and night, he's watching over you. Whoso is wise, yeah, and will observe these things, even they shall understand the loving kindness of the Lord. Let's stand. Let's come to a time of worship, saints, before we dedicate our sister's car. It's good to go back and read about the first Christmas. It wasn't easy, friends. For none of those people, the Elizabeth, Zechariah, it wasn't easy. For the wise men, it wasn't easy. For Mary and Joseph, it wasn't easy. But God ministered grace to them. And that's all we need each step of the way. Let's sing that song. What the angel told to the great messenger, walking with him.
Cause you have chosen. A great portion of heaven is waiting for you because of what you decided. Oh, that was a prophecy the angel told to the great messenger. That is what will produce a great victory in the love divine. Oh, I will walk this path. I will walk this path in the footsteps of this path. I will walk this path. In the footsteps of Elohim, I want to get to the end of time. That divine love will live in me. There's many trials. This path has many trials and many battles against the enemy. Perfect love. Oh, there is not much time remaining. There is not much time remaining. Oh, to go in this path. We can already hear the chant. We can hear chariots of our beloved one coming to meet us.
come to prayer. Let's bow our heads, saints. Brother Tommy said something very good on Friday. He says we need, the prophet said, to repent of our unbelief.
Amen.
Whenever we doubt his goodness.
Amen.
Whenever we doubt his promises.
Yes.
Whenever we give in and we express. Friends, the birds can fly over our heads. That's fine. The thoughts can come. But the moment we allow them to make a nest in our hair, the moment we think of those things until it produces an attitude in us, or an atmosphere around us, the moment we express those things, we need to repent of them.
Amen.
And friends, I think it would be good for us to repent. To say, Lord, you've been so faithful to your promises. You've been so faithful to us. You've kept us through many trials, through many temptations.
Amen.
Lord, we could have stumbled in the way so many times. We could have been overcome by the enemy, Lord. We could have been disappointed by circumstances beyond remedy. But Father, because of your goodness, oh Lord, you've kept us. Let's come before the Lord. Let's appreciate him upon this day. Let's appreciate his goodness. Let's appreciate his deliverance. Let's appreciate his word. This message in this hour. Oh, friends, where would we be? Ask yourself, where would you be today if it wasn't for his grace? Oh, and my friend, if you don't know this grace, you're the most miserable person in this building. But you don't have to stay like that, because the angels are lingering
Amen.
Here. Because there's an atmosphere. Because you feel different now than you did when you came in. There's something that's persuading you. There's something that's been working in ways that you cannot see. To perform a divine commission. Why not just yield yourself today? Let's sing a chorus and we come to pray. Let's sing that chorus. Swing low, sweet chariot. Coming for that song, we'll sing that song and let's come to pray.
I looked over Jordan and what did I see? Coming for to carry me on.
Let's pray. Let's seek his face this day in Jesus' name.
I looked hope and joy.
Jesus, the light of the world. We'll walk in the light. We'll walk in.
and today, Jesus, the light of the world, go with truth, the narrow way, Jesus, the light of the world. We walk in the light, the beautiful light, we walk in the light,
yeah.
just to delay you a little bit longer. Just had some presents, which for the children. Who's doing it, Brother Willie? Brother Wills, if you want to come and do it, bro. We do appreciate our children. And may the Lord bless each and every one of them. Amen. They're very good little children. They behave so well most of the time. And we do really, really appreciate it. Appreciate our Sunday school teachers, the Sunday school, what they do for them. So we really do want to just give them something. And may they take it as coming from the Lord Himself. Amen.
Amen.
God bless you, saints. We don't want to take much of your time, so I'm going to ask Sister Liana as well and Sister Kitana just to come and grab the bags and we hand them over. We would like to appreciate you, saints, for giving us your children that we could try and fill in the gaps where you are trying to teach them at home. So we would like to call all of them. They will just come and get their presents from their teachers, Joshua and Janelle. I think she's not here. And Adam and Michael. And not Michael. And Hadassah. So if you can come forward then and get your little presents. And Benjamin and William Lubanza. Benji. So that's the smallest class that we have. Joshua, do you want to come, Joshua? Oh. Doesn't want to come.
Okay. So let's appreciate the teachers and the children. Let's give them a round of applause.
Elsie as well, yes. Oops. Okay, Ruth is not here. Kamel, so that's just the next class coming. Kamel, Davina, Tabita, Elsie, Rebecca, and David. Rebecca is over there. You can come, brother, and get it for her. She's not here. And then the bigger class, Betty and Esther is not here, and William, Zima, and Abigail is not here, and Rachel and Hannah and Stacy and Daniel and James and Jasmine is not here as well. So thank you. If we could clap hands for all these children, they did very well.
Amen.
And then just the last one. Some parents were asking me to hand over these gifts. to the teachers that have done a sterling work. Amen. So we want to thank you, parents, for that, Sister Liana.
Amen. Amen.
Sister Angel. Sister Gitana, too. If you could give to Sister Angel as well. And Sister Ingrid. And Sister Susan. Thank you, Sister. Sister Dube and Sister Noella, they are not here, but they have presents in here as well. And there was a special present for Sister Lydia for helping us with the play for the children. May God bless you too.
Amen.
Thank you. God bless you.
Amen. Amen.
You know what's the worst thing? There's no present for Brother Wilmore. But I think we need to give him a big round of applause.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. And I'm sorry, we did greet him before the service. Brad Daniel's here, Brad Max's son. God bless you, Brad. Nice to be with you as well. The prophet always said that. He says, when you get in front, you want to say so many things, but it's not easy getting in front. You forget a lot of things. So we just appreciate the Lord. Friends, it's been a real good year. I really do appreciate the year. You know, if you look back, well, we're not what we ought to be. We're not what you want to be, but we're not what we used to be. And there's a scripture, I think it's in Psalms, it says, the Lord has been mindful of us. He will bless us. So we can Amen. Look back and see how much he's been mindful, and that is such a forte. That's an evidence of good things to come. So we do appreciate. Wish you all a good rest of the day. Let's sing one more song. Then we ask my brother David, you come and dismiss us, if you wouldn't mind, bro, as we dismiss in the name of Jesus. Amen. Song and be gentlemen in this song. Surely, please, 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 please. We've got to be free. We've got to sing Amen. That song properly. That song doesn't suit Amen. Us just standing. Please. And Tony, he's an expert at the song. So he's going to show us how
it's Amen. Come on, Daniel.
Amen.
Keep
Let's
us free.
There's no one like Jesus. There's no one like Jesus.
cast your burden unto Jesus, for he cares for you. Cast your burden unto Jesus.
Thank you.
When the children see us, they say, ah, what happened today? We should be like this every day. I'm a pilgrim. I'm a stranger. This world of sin. Soldier, did you see his hands? I think he's the commander.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Amen. Attention.
Surely around me.
saints, let's bow our heads for a word of prayer.
Amen.
Father God, how much we appreciate you, Lord.
Amen.
Father, and we believe that today, Lord, your children have, we've expressed our love toward you, Lord. Father, after hearing your word, Father, testimony yet again, Father God, poem, song, Lord. Father, in all of it, your spirit was present, Lord. Oh, Lord, we love you and we appreciate your love for us, Lord, which is, Father, we can't find words, Lord, that could best express it, Lord. But Father, we're praying, Lord, that this that we did today, Lord, to Father, acknowledge your presence with us. May it be acceptable in your sight, Lord. Father, even the angels that encamp around us, Father, we believe that they had a time of jubilee as well with us, oh God.
Amen.
Father, Lord, in this little place, while around us, Lord, the world is going on. Father, they partaking of food and different things, drink, Lord. Father, hijacked, Lord, the season, Lord. Father, but we thankful, Lord, that you are merciful to us, oh God.
Thank you, Lord.
Father, Lord, and how we really appreciate, Lord, the true Christmas, Lord. Christ Jesus.
Amen.
Oh, Father, because you made a way, Lord, where there was no way.
Amen.
Father, some of us, Lord, when we consider, Lord, where we'd be, Father, we literally would have been dead, Lord, in every sense of the word. But for your grace, Lord. Your mercy, Father. Lord, just protecting us, Lord, opening doors that were shut. Lord, healing us, Lord. Father, just so much, Lord God, that many times we don't even deserve.
Amen.
But Lord, your grace and mercies, which we thank you for, Lord, even upon this day. Father, we thank you, Lord, even for this year which has gone by. Lord, with the new year dawning, Lord. But Father, we in expectation, Lord, for greater things, Lord, in the year which has gone by. Father, if we were to take all the testimonies given, Lord, we could write a book, Lord. Father God, you healed the sick. Lord God, you gave jobs, Lord. Father, even in ways, Lord, where, Father God, your children, maybe through the eyes of the world, they didn't have the necessary qualifications. But Lord, you exalted them. You lifted them up to places, Lord, so that it can be known that it was not, Father God, anything of our own, but it was you, O Lord.
Amen.
How we thank you, Lord. Father, you protected us so many times, Lord, near crashes in our cars, Lord. Father, but you protected us, oh God. Father, and we know if your protection wasn't there, Lord, today we'd be singing a different song, Lord. But how we appreciate your love toward us, oh God. Father, even our brother today, Brother Eli, gave testimony. Lord, and I know what it's like myself, Lord, to be at that point of death, Lord. Father, Lord God, where you feel that, Lord, is this the end? Lord, but how sweet it is, Lord, for you just to come and to deliver us, Lord, in such a simple way, Lord, that sometimes we can almost forget the torment that Satan tried to inflict us with. We thank you for that. We thank you, Lord, for even Brother Max with the testimony, Lord, with the purse, Lord. Father, many times we take these things for granted. Forgive us, Lord. But Lord, you've reminded us in your word, Lord. Father, how we ought to consider these things and understand. Because Lord, you are not a joker, Lord. There's a purpose and a reason behind everything. Lord, and you're desiring us to get closer and closer to you. You're desiring us to know you more, Lord. So that Father, when adversity faces us, which we have to expect, we won't, Lord, be as children, Lord, to fret, Lord. But we'll continue in the way, Lord. We won't be discouraged. We'll just continue to look at your word. Father, Lord, we'll be steadfast, Lord, in our focus. Lord, help us, Lord. It's a new year. Father, we the down parts, Lord, even in this year gone by, we know that they're for a reason. Lord, we learn from them. And our heart's desire is to do better. And we're trusting, oh God, in the way that the year is finishing. That, Lord, it's a first fruits, Lord, of what's coming ahead.
Amen.
So we look in anticipation, Lord, unto thee. Bless us in the year ahead, Lord. Bless our plans, Lord.
Amen.
Because our plans are, Lord, to walk closer to thee.
Amen.
Our plans are to win souls, Lord, unto Thee. Any of Your lost children that are out there. That's the desire of our heart, Lord. So bless us in our work, Lord, so we can reach out to souls. Bless us in all that we'll do. Father, bless our wives in the homes, Lord. Father, to hold on to this message that has life. Lord God, so they can impart that life even to our children, Lord. Father, Lord, for they have a sacred trust. So bless them each one, Lord. Any discouraged, please encourage them, Lord. Heavenly Father, You know all of our needs, Lord. Father, whether it be, Lord, papers, Lord. Father God, You behind every move. Lord, and You've never lost a battle. So, Lord, we look forward, Lord, to more testimony in every regard, O God. Be merciful to us, Lord. Father, we thank You for this day. We thank You for this place especially. Father, forgive us. Sometimes we take it for granted. We don't realize, Lord, how many times You congregate here. Father, You minister Your word to us here, Lord. You give us counsel, Lord. You give us healing here, Lord. You give life to us, Lord. Father, even You've graced this place, Lord, with many, Lord, of Your servants from different parts of the world who stand faithful, Lord. You've made it so that they pass this way. Oh, Father, we thank You for that. Lord, please be with us in the rest of this day. All the things that we do, Lord, we ask that You be in them. Father, let Satan have no place, Lord, in our lives. Father, we ask You for traveling mercies as well. Father, those angels that You promised to encamp around us. Father, as You reminded us today, we know of a surety that they are with us. So be with us, Lord. Father, we thank You for everything done today. Lord, Father, the gifts, Lord, to the children. Lord, Father God, we pray that You put something in their heart that they'll always remember, Lord. Not necessarily the gifts, but the reason for it, Lord. So that them can strive to have Christ in their hearts, O God. Bless, Lord, the Sunday school teachers, Lord. In every way. Bless Brother Wormo, Lord. Father, may His fire and desire, Lord, to work for You never faint, O God. Lord, bless him. Bless our pastor, Lord. Bless, Lord God, his family, Lord. Father, You know the travails that he'd go through. You know the desires of his heart, Lord, even for us. Lord, help us to enter into one vision. Lord, every brother, every sister, Lord, we all look into You. Be merciful to us. Be with us in the rest of this day. Thank You once again, Lord, as we pray these things in Jesus Christ's name. Amen.
Some people are saying we're late for our Christmas dinner. I've already been having my Christmas dinner. Let's dismiss with this song. When I came into this place, I felt His presence. We didn't sing that song a long time. Amen. And God be with you until we meet.
there's joys beyond all measure, beyond all measure. If you have a need, I know God has the answer. Just reach out and claim it. You are standing on hold now. We are standing.
Saturday, 9 o'clock here, 9 o'clock in the evening. Let's come to worship the Lord. Let's come with our testimonies. Let's come with our gifts, our items. Let's come and seek His face. And let's wait upon the Lord as we enter into the new year. I'm under an expectation that the Lord will really bless us. And may the Lord really, really be with us and be one of our number.
See, no service on Saturday, Wednesday.
On Wednesday, yeah, we'll have service on Wednesday. Just normal. Let's have prayer meeting on Wednesday. Then on Saturday we meet you and said, let's dedicate our sister's car as we dismiss in Jesus' name. Amen.
Do you